Hello, and welcome to another edition of The More Abundant Life. My name is Adrian Westney Jr. I'm your host for today's program. This program features messages and music by Pastor Wendley Phipps. And I'm glad you've joined us today. Today we are going to continue the series on the Ten Commandments, and we're actually going to complete a sermon that was begun in the previous broadcast, The Power of a Lie. If you heard part one of that, you're going to hear part two of that sermon today. So I hope you'll stay tuned and enjoy the program with us here on The More Abundant Life. Just before we get into the message for today, here is music entitled Eternal Life by Wendley Phipps.
Day in and day out, working hard and learning how to play the ruthless game. All the while your heart becomes so cold, you're selling out your soul, reaching for a temporary goal. But when you reach that final sunset, and you look into his eyes, will the feeling in your heart be joy, or will it be your last goodbye? It would be the greatest tragedy if you never realized to eternal life. You finally arrived, making lots of money, but there's emptiness inside. Somehow the rest will fall in place. But when you reach that final sunset and you look into his eyes, will the tears you shed be tears of joy, or will it be your last goodbye? It would be the greatest tragedy if you never realized that all you own cannot compare. And when you reach that final sunset and the tears well in your eyes, will the feeling in your heart be joy, or will it be your last goodbye? It would be the greatest tragedy if you never realized that all you own cannot compare to eternity.
That's music by Wendley Phipps entitled Eternal Life here on The More Abundant Life. And that song is one of the items on the Power of a Dream CD. We're going to get right to the message now, part two of the title, The Power of a Lie, commandment number 9. Here now is Pastor Wendley Phipps.
Now, Eve, did God really say that you can't eat of the trees of the garden? And Eve jumps to God's defense, as if God needs any defense. Oh, yes, oh, yes. We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. God didn't restrict our freedom. We can eat of any tree in the garden that we want to, except that one over there. Which one, Eve? That one over there. Point it out to me. That one, you know, the one in the middle of the garden, the one whose golden fruit glistens with the light of mystery. Oh, Eve, you mean that tree? Yes, that one. God asks us not to eat it or even to touch it or we'll surely die. Come on, Eve, what's so special about that tree? And here comes the big lie that opened the door to sin's entrance in our world. It is the biggest lie that the devil ever told and ever tells. Eve, you will not surely die. The first lie was, you won't die. And with that evil, with that lie, the devil captured the soul and the destiny of the human race with a lie. With a lie, he turned a race of free men and women into slaves of his will. Eve, you will not surely die. Now, the reason God told you not to eat of this fruit, Eve, is because he's holding something back from you. There is supernatural power in that tree. God knows full well that as soon as you eat of that fruit, you'll be as intelligent as he is, as wise as he is, as powerful as he is. Church, did you know that Eve, listen carefully. Oh, I love to preach because I learn. And I hope that you love to hear preaching, at least when this pastor tries to preach, because you learn something. Did you know that Eve then added her lie to the devil's lie? Did you know that? Listen to what the servant of God says. That Eve lied. She overstated the words of God's command. God had said to Adam, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. Eve was the one who added, neither, God said that if we eat of it, or if we even touch it, we will die. So Eve added her little lie. She was lying on God. God said, don't eat of the fruit or you die. Eve turns around and tells the devil, God said that I can't eat it and I can't even touch it. Listen to what the servant of God says. The subtlety of the serpent was seen here. The statement of Eve, her lie, gave the devil an advantage. And so guess what he did? That's why he plucked the fruit. Did you know that the devil plucked the fruit? Put it in her hand. And then used her own words. He said, see there? You didn't die. You didn't die. Look at that. God's a liar. You didn't die. That's why young people, you know, stay out of those clubs. You go there and say, oh, I didn't die. Listen to what the devil said. Look. Look, Eve, no harm came to you. Woo! A young man who says, Lord, please, Jesus, help me to say the right things. Young man who says to the young lady, I got protection. You won't die. You won't die. You see, the devil said, listen to what Ellen White says. Look, no harm came to you from touching the fruit, neither will you receive any harm by eating it. Eve yielded to the lying of the devil in the form of a serpent. She ate the fruit and realized no immediate harm. So when she got up there and nothing happened, she said, oh, that's when with her own hand she reached out and plucked the fruit for herself. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, the Bible said, did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. When Adam saw Eve with that forbidden fruit in her hand, she looked to him more beautiful, more excited than he had ever seen her. You know, sin will do that to your brain. It will do that to your eyes. Many a brother, many an elder I have found who commits adultery, when you take a good look at the women who seduced them, you say to yourself, what was he thinking? Halle Berry, maybe. But Minnie Mouse? She looks like Minnie Mouse. Sin does strange things to your brain. And because Adam couldn't bear the thought of living without Eve, some God says, he quickly took the fruit and ate it. And look at Genesis 3:7. As soon as he ate of the fruit, the light of God's presence disappeared. And for the first time, Adam and Eve felt shame. They began looking for fig leaves and coverings for themselves. Look at chapter 3 of Genesis, verse 24. God stationed angels of light with flaming swords to make sure that no one who sinned would ever eat of the tree of life. Because of a lie, Adam and Eve fell under the sway of the tempter's power. Because of a lie, damages and consequences of cosmic proportions. Before the fall, Adam and Eve enjoyed face-to-face with communion with their Creator. But because of a lie, man became a slave to evil. You can't tell me the power of a lie. Because of a lie, Adam and Eve became slaves to passions and desires before they were giddy subjects of God's benevolent will. But because of a lie, this world became a place of death and poverty and woe and rebellion because of a lie. The power of a lie. Time magazine, not long ago, called America a nation of liars. We lie like crazy. We lie to other people. We lie to ourselves. We even lie to God. We know God's enemies will lie. We expect them to. But even people who call themselves God's people are liars. Why are you so quiet? Because the word of God says all have sinned and come short. I'm guilty. And I know you are too. In Genesis chapter 20, verse 2, there's a story about a friend of God. A friend of God. You know, that's one thing to be a friend of God, telling a colossal lie, trying to save his life. If you look at Genesis chapter 20, chapter 20, verse 13, it tells you the one day when the Lord asked Abraham to leave his father's house to come east, Abraham said to Sarah, Sarah, you're so beautiful. When we get to this new land, be kind to me and tell the people I'm your brother so they won't kill me and take you as a wife. You see, in those days, a king had the right to take into his harem any single woman who pleased him. Aren't you glad you don't live in those days? for Abraham to be worried like that said to me that Sarah had to be fine. Sarah agreed to go along with the lie. I guess she thought she was fine too. So anybody that asked Abraham if Sarah was his wife, he'd say, oh, no, she's not my wife. She's my sister. And that was a half-truth because they had the same father but different mothers. When Abimelech heard about this gorgeous woman called Sarah, he sent for Sarah to make her his wife. And then suddenly things got complicated. And God spoke to Abimelech in a dream and said, if you so much as touch that woman, you will die. For she is Abraham's wife. Look at Genesis 20, verse 6. God said to Abimelech, chapter 20, verse 6. God said to Abimelech, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart. In other words, I know that you are an honest man thinking that you're going to take just another wife. So I also withheld thee. I stopped you from sinning against me. That's why I suffered you not to touch her. Abimelech, you didn't know the truth. That's why I stopped you from sinning against me. That's why I told you not to touch her. And look at chapter 20, verse 7. God, let me translate it for you. God says to Abimelech, I'm not mad at you. But if you don't give her back, I want you to know that both you and all those who belong to you will die. Look at verse 8. The Bible says, Abimelech rose early in the morning. Called his servants, told them all these things, and they asked. The men were afraid. The king called Abraham and said, boy, you almost got me killed. Lying like that. What did I do to offend you for you to turn around and almost get me killed because of your lies? Oh, that's a rough thing for a worldly man to have to look at a godly man and say, you are a liar. And I love verse 10. Abraham, thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done. In other words, no one should ever do that to somebody, what you did to me, Abraham. And verse 10, Abraham, why did you lie to me about your wife? I thought I would be safe, said Abraham, with a lie. I'd be too exposed if I told the truth. And then verse 14, Abimelech gave Sarah back to Abraham. I love this. And he was so scared. He was so afraid. Not only did he give Sarah back to Abraham, he gave Abraham sheep and oxen and servants and gifts. He said, I'm opening up the whole country for you. Live where you want to live. It took only a few seconds for Abraham to lie, but that lie became a seed that was planted and grew and brought bitter fruit because his children became liars. You remember Jacob? Let me tell you a few things about lies. Proverbs 6:17 says, God hates lies. Why? He is a God of truth. I said he's a God of truth. John 14:17 says, the Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And James 1:18 says, the Word of God is the Word of truth. So God is a God of truth, Father. The Word is the Word of truth, Son. The Spirit is the Spirit of truth, Holy Ghost. A lying tongue is but for a moment, wrote Matthew Henry. Truth is the daughter of time, and in time, truth will win out. This one lie cost Abraham a powerful witness, because when he lied, he infected a generation with the sins of their father. God said, take your time. One writer once said, a bad man's example has little influence over good men, but the bad example of a good man has an enormous power for evil. Woo! Did you hear that? A bad man's example has little influence over good men, but the bad example of a good man is an awful power for evil. Imagine how humiliated Abraham was when Abimelech had to call him and confront him and rebuked him. And I got to tell you, it is humiliating when people who don't know God have to look at people who know God and say, you're a liar. Oh, but thank God men are not judged by the presence or absence of faults, but by the direction of their lives. Thank God we're not judged by our occasional lie. You are not judged by your occasional lie, but by the direction and the tendency of your tongue. Usually a lie begins with making falsehoods appear like truth. The editor of a small town newspaper got tired of being called a liar one day. He announced that he would tell the truth, always in his editorials, and the next issue contained the following item: married Miss Sylvan Rhodes and James Collins last Saturday at the Baptist Parsonage by Reverend Gordon. The bride is a very ordinary town girl who doesn't know any more about cooking than a jackrabbit and never helped her mother cook 3 days in her life. She is not a beauty by any means, walks like a duck. The groom is a jobless loafer. He's been living off his folks at home all his life and is now worth nothing. It'll be a hard life. End of editorial. People are susceptible to lies because they don't like the truth. Lies are an abomination to God. Lies undercut credibility. When you lie, you undercut your own credibility, and people try to lie about you to undercut your credibility. Reminds me of a story. It's not a lie, it's a story. About this brother that got pulled over for speeding one day. Policeman, how many, I tell you, policemen must hear the most creative lies. Officer, something's wrong with the speedometer. Yeah, right. This guy, brother, got pulled over for speeding. As the story goes, the policeman walked up to him and said, "May I see your driver's license, please?" He said, "Officer, I don't have a license. I lost it at my fifth DUI. He said, "Well, let me see the registration." He said, "Officer, the registration's in the glove compartment, but I've got a gun in the glove compartment." He said, "You have a gun in the glove compartment?" He said, "Yes, officer, I use it to shoot somebody and the body's in the trunk." Policeman said, "Hold on a minute." He radioed the head to headquarters. Within minutes, the brother's car was surrounded, and the captain walked up to the car and said, "May I see your driver's license, please?" The brother said, "Of course, captain." He pulled out the driver's license and handed it to the captain. He said, "Wait a minute, do you have a gun in the glove compartment?" He said, "Oh, no, I don't have a gun in the glove compartment." He said, "Well, this officer here said that you shot somebody and the body is in the trunk." He said, "Oh, my goodness, he probably told you I was speeding too, right?" Lies can undermine your credibility. God's people have always been lied about. Lies were told against Joseph by Potiphar's wife. Huh? Lies were told against Moses by Korah. Lies were told against David by the princes of Ammon. Lies were told against Elijah. Lies were told against Jeremiah. Lies were told against Amos. Lies were told against Jesus. Lies were told against Stephen, against Paul. One day David cried out, "Lord, the wicked are constantly spreading lies about me." He says, "Which of you delights in life and desires a long life to enjoy prosperity? Keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies." God says of his own people that their tongues are like poisoned arrows tipped with lies. I am convinced most of us are not aware of the many ways in which we lie. When we're careless about the truth, we lie. Some lie because they don't want to examine the facts before they state their conclusion. There's another form of lying. I call it beltway lying, political lying. Politicians, they know better when they start calling people names, but they lie. There's another form of lying called social hypocrisy. It's when you pretend to care about brothers and sisters and you don't care a thing about them at all. Let a crisis come to your life and ministry and you'll see who really cares about you. Church, before I leave, people usually lie for three reasons. Either for fear or to look better, or to get something. People lie. We sometimes try so hard to put the fear of God in children that we make children lie. Before I leave you, do you know there are some people in the church who God considers liars and they don't even know it? A whole lot of Christians are considered liars by God. They don't even know it. Because here's what God says. If anyone says, I love God, and yet I hate my brother, you're a liar. If you say you love God, but you hate your brother, you're a liar.
Well, that brings us to the end of our program for today, almost to the end of our program for today, certainly to the end of the message. It concludes the message of the power of a lie. And if you would like to obtain an audio copy of today's message, you'll want to call the Seabrook Church at 301-577-6342. The phone number again for the Seabrook Church, 301-577-6342. And you want to ask today for program number 344. That's program number 344. And we'll reference the right number. You may also email a request to the Seabrook Audiovisual Department at seabrookav@yahoo.com. Give them the program number again, which is program number 344. Well, until next time, this is Adrian Westney Jr. I want to wish you God's richest blessings, and I hope that you'll have a blessed time between now and the next program. Hope you'll join us for another program. Until you can, though, remember the words written in John chapter 10, verse 10. That's where Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that life might be a more abundant life.
What's in your heart?